Hey, welcome back to the Geek Show Help Desk.
Yeah.
That's your cue to say something, guys. You know how this works.
You know how it feels.
Pause. You must feel it. Oh, anyway, this is the Geek Show Help Desk, where we talk about tech, gadgets, and all science-related stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great show, guys. Let's take a minute and introduce some of our panelists. Just some of them. We're going to skip one of them just for fun.
Over here,
we have the Tony.
Hey, I'm not driving today, just riding in the passenger seat, but still with full mute privileges.
Oh, someday I'll get those.
And soundboard privileges. All right,
here
anyway,
that's this corner, this one over there, we got Olang.
Oh, you messed me up pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you pointed at Jaren. I was like, what?
Oh, I thought you were going to skip me, but you pointed at me.
I am skipping you, Jaren.
I'm subbing in, so I'm just going to say crypto, halo, boom.
Nailed it.
You did all the things.
Love you
down
all.
Down below, we got the Jaren.
Hi, I'm the Jaren. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren. And we have a host, our gracious, awesome host, Lando.
Laying it on a little
thick. Thank you, Jaren. That felt so good. Did that hurt? Did that feel okay for you?
No, it felt normal. Felt natural. I'm a good liar.
It's natural.
So good. Thank you. My name's Lando. I'm driving this week because I wanted to drive, and I like driving every once in a while.
I gave him the opportunity, and he took it.
Yeah. No one thought I would. Turns out, joke's on you. Cool. Do we have any...
No laugh there.
Nothing. Do we have any emails this week, Jaren?
No. No one emailed us.
Not even Lang?
He's present. I don't know why Lang didn't email.
Quick, send something in.
help. I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's been a lot of busy scheduling and spreadsheets at work for me.
Spreadsheets? Oh, let's talk about spreadsheets.
We'll get spicy with smart sheets in between.
Smart sheets? No.
I have to use smart sheets.
Yeah, this is for sure an in-between topic, I think.
It's not spicy in the slightest. It will put people to sleep.
It's not like James's spicy in-between?
I will not go that far. I would feel guilty if I went that far. James' length is not my length.
Got that right. That's nobody's length.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that one over there on the side and just keep on trucking. Cool. So let's jump on into the stories. Looks like Tony has some bad news here with Tesla.
Womp womp. No, I do feel bad for the workers though. They announced 10% of the workforce will be laid off, which when you employ a workforce of 140,000 people, that's 14,000 people that could be impacted by layoffs. So that sucks for those folks. No bueno. Well, it's your classic bid to cut costs and boost productivity that corporate America thinks is the way to go.
The rumor is their sales are lagging, and I think they kind of screwed themselves because last year they massively reduced the prices on all their cars.
Like twice.
So they had a huge influx last year, but not this year. I mean, I was the beneficiary, so I don't mind it myself.
If you drive by the Tesla dealership in Linden, Utah, its parking lot's full.
It's not a dealership, though, right?
It's a service center.
Oh, is that a service center? Oh,
yeah,
I thought it was dealerships. I thought it was a Tesla showroom thingy.
Yeah, because America sucks. We have rules and things around what you can and can't call a dealership.
I think you can take delivery at a service center, though.
Oh, absolutely.
What I mean. There's a ton of new cars in the parking lot. There are 6 or 7 Cybertrucks just sitting there. So
that's not surprising, though.
Yep. Well, there you go. This is Tesla's first year-over-year drop in sales in 3 years, and it's kind of indicative of what is being seen as a wider cooling of demand for EVs. They're cutting back.
And
speaking of Tesla, Jared. I saw your story. Don't you think I didn't see it? I was going to segue right into it, buddy. Don't take my segue. Go ahead. Tesla.
Speaking of Tesla,
I'm driving.
He's driving this Tesla. Speed bumps in that driving right there.
Jaren's trying to take my job.
They are having their subscription to full self-driving to $100 a month, down from $200. If you want to buy it outright, it is still $12,000, which I don't suggest at this point because it would take you 10 years of an active subscription to reach $12,000. And
that's true. Is that price guaranteed? Once you lock it in, it's $100.
I think so. They didn't mention a temporary sale.
Comcast style where it's like, yeah, we'll give it to you this for a while.
Yeah, it's true. They could always raise it. It's not like you're locking into it or anything. That's a bit more compelling. Like if you're going to go on a road trip, $100 for a month, not so bad.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd pay for it still, but yeah. So maybe they'll make up for that lost revenue with services.
I have a question for you, Jaren. Let's say you were planning a long road trip, right? I'm going to be driving these days. Would you pay for like a day or two subscription if that was an option available for less money? You think it's a good enough deal?
If it was like $10. Yeah, I'd do $10.
$10 a day?
Yeah.
That'd be... You only have to buy it for 5 days or for 10 days and you're already at the month.
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, when you're on road trips, you might be driving 2 or 3 days and then you're done.
That's true. That's
right?
true.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, feels like the best use case for this tech.
It's actually kind of compelling, yeah.
Anyway, just the thought I had.
That's a great idea, Lando. I'm more than impressed with you tonight.
You know, when I'm driving, I'm paying attention, I'm locked in, I'm ready to go. We're doing well.
I vote he's lying again.
He probably is. I'm going to take it straight.
Just, yep.
I'm going to leave him for his word.
Yep.
Face value. Makes me feel good. I'm going to chomp that, you know, that good praise right down.
I'm nom nom.
Sweet. So I have here a quick follow-up. If you remember, it was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, months, somewhere in there. I was really excited about this thing called the Humane Pin. You remember this thing?
Womp.
Yeah.
Womp.
I was super excited.
You were actually excited?
When I first saw it and saw the tech demo, I'm like, this could be compelling. Like, this is a good idea. Yeah. It double turns out. All the reviewers do not like this.
MKBHD.
Yeah, that guy. Said it's the worst product he's ever reviewed. Like,
the best...
That's serious.
The best mention I ever saw of... I have seen so far, I should say, of review for this is one guy, I believe it was The Verge. He's like, I can see the potential there. That was the best the best comment they had to say about it.
Yeah, it's slow. It returns bad answers. The battery... is horrible.
Bad.
It gets hot on your chest like the entire day.
It overheats, yep. So it just stops working for a while.
Yep. And doing anything on it is so much harder than your phone.
The crazy thing about this device is like some new devices scream first gen product, and this screams alpha product.
Yeah, to
or
me,
beta.
At
you
minimum.
Know what I mean?
It really feels like the venture capitalists had goals for them that they had to meet or else.
Hmm.
Like, you better ship it.
Yeah,
because who in their right mind would release this product in its current state?
Well, I mean, you could talk to Fisker about their Ocean, and they probably would tell you the same thing. That was the worst car MKBHD has ever reviewed.
I think they had cash flow issues. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, I'll bet Humane does as well at this point.
Well, they have VC money, though. And I bet it has to do with like some milestones that they
some
had to
obligation.
Hit or something.
Yeah, but still, like this can't be great for them long term, getting these bad reviews. First impressions count for a whole bunch. And now everyone has the first impression of this thing sucks. Who's ever going to buy it?
AI bros will totally buy it still.
Oh, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Same guys that bought the Google Glass when it first came out for $1,500, you know.
The same people that are buying the Rabbit R1 AI device, which hopefully is better than the Humane Pin.
That's the one that's teenage engineering designed?
Yeah.
With the little scrolly wheel thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, one of the interesting things MKBHD did say about it was when he talked about it would work so much better if they just let it use a phone for its processing and data upload and download. But then he also said, this is the interesting part, that they painted themselves into a bit of a corner with that because coming out at first and wanting to show off this new type of product, you need it to be standalone from the beginning or else you end up creating a perceived dependency onto the piece of tech that it's trying to ultimately replace.
Well, I think that totally was doable, because Apple, they have a watch you have to connect to your phone. They have a watch that's standalone, too.
Yep. That's true. If I remember right, Tony, this was the first thing out of Tony's mouth. It's like, does this thing connect to your phone?
Yeah, it should. I agree that it should. That was his line of reasoning, and I can see that, too.
I think they wanted the subscription revenue.
I'm sure.
$25 a month. That $24 a month to help them with their cash flow. It all goes back to accounting, guys. This is why accounting and finance is just like so important for business. You understand why things are happening the way they are.
Yeah, I hate
follow
that so much.
The money.
Yeah. It makes you very uncomfortable. All right. Well, next up, I want to talk about what's this Gundam thing you're talking about in your leg?
So Gundams. Good pronunciation.
Gundam.
There. Yep.
Did I say with a Texas accent?
Yeah, so the Gundams out in Japan. This was
you though.
I think it's kind of weird. So they have a couple of statues. If you were watching the Olympics a couple of years back, you were seeing them in some of the races. They have life-size statues. There's, I think, one.
Are these?
Finish the sentence.
Oh, are these those mascot things like John Oliver had on a show, like these giant mascot costumes? Is that what we're talking about here?
No, is an 18-meter statue.
Do you remember Ready Player One?
Yes.
Yeah, when he turns into the Gundam robot that fights the Mechagodzilla. This is that.
Oh, yes.
Just
okay.
Click on the link.
I am on board. I got
Lando.
You. I'm locked in. Let's go.
Tony, he's driving. Link. He's driving. He's looking elsewhere while he's steering down the road.
I click on every link when I drive.
So going back to the original story, the Gundam. So they Bandai
dope.
The company. Oh, wow.
Sorry. That was an accident. I just looked at it. I'm like, wow, that thing's cool looking.
Jeezy Pete.
So
do I need to take over?
No.
It went up in 2020, and it's fully mechanized. Like, it's life size. It moves. And Bandai, the company that makes Gundam, put this up. But then at the end of March, they did this giant celebration with fireworks, drone shows, everything. And they took it down like this giant publicity. So I thought it was cool, kind of techie, that a mechanized piece of art slash history, since Gundam is huge. It's all over the place. But they just went and took it down, and they are supposedly not bringing it back, which I thought is a surprising waste of money.
Why not just leave it up?
Well,
right? Give a reason.
You don't have to leave it up where it's at.
I searched.
You know, maybe you don't have to leave it up where it's at, but put it somewhere else so people can check it out. So
it's. I just thought it was interesting that they just took it down. It's mechanized, like cool statues, something techie. They do have one that's in Japan that lights up and does a little bit, but it's statue and life size. They also have one in Shanghai. So they pop up, and they have plans to do more of just the statues, but this mechanized one, I think it was really dumb to take it away. Personally love Gundams, and even though only half of their games are great, but I hope something else like this comes up or makes a more of an attraction versus places where you have to pay to go in, like a Universal Studios to see something like this. So I thought it was interesting.
Gundam is massive, and I'm surprised there isn't a Gundam theme park.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, they have a lot. They have the factories that you can go in and see how they're constructed. They make the runners. That's their thing. But all of guys, suckers like me, have so many that they don't need to make an amusement park. So
they already got your money.
They got you.
They really do. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Oling. That was interesting. I now learned what a Gundam is. Even though it's not an N or a U sound, it's an A sound makes a U sound.
Gundam.
Gundam.
Good job, Lambo. Yeah,
that never happens in the English language.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah,
seriously.
Hey, guess what time it is now, Jaren? Battery time. We're going to talk about batteries for a minute. I've got two stories here about Bandits. We're going to start with super giant battery announced for Utah.
A giant BS. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Yeah, so this...
I'm super stoked.
This is very interesting. It just came across my Google feed the other day, and it's this. So it kind of, you have to take some liberties, in my opinion, with the term battery, at least colloquially.
Does it store energy?
No.
Oh.
But it stores something that can be energy. So what it is basically.
It's a battery.
That's
so
what
it's
I mean.
Battery. Like, what does that mean?
Battery for a battery.
Yeah. So yeah. Basically what it is it's this project that has that's underway right now. And it's a giant cave, I guess is the right word. But I think I'm pretty sure it's a man-made cave. And it will store massive amounts of hydrogen and natural gas.
Okay.
So the plan is with the renewable energy plants and things around this area, hydrogen will be produced through electrolysis with excess energy production throughout the day. And then that hydrogen, along with natural gas, is stored in this giant cavern thing that they're building. And it's the size of the Empire State Building going down.
That's big.
It's big.
Is it shaped like the Empire State Building
too? I don't think so, but that would be really cool if it was. They just have a pipe at the top that comes off the spire to pipe it in. So it stores that hydrogen and natural gas, and then when energy demand either goes over what's available for the solar or the wind due to lack of wind or clouds or night or whatever, that natural gas and hydrogen gets burned in like a converted coal plant to burn a more, green friendly kind of a product.
If it results in less crappy days in the winter with smog, would be happy.
That's the kind of stuff that it's supposed to help with. So, cause we all know that, some days with your solar and wind energy, you get more than you need because you can't control if you're producing too much than what the grid needs. You can't control it and say make less energy, sun, blow less wind, and so you use the excess.
I tell
energy.
My son that all the time.
Does
make
it work?
Less energy, son. No, it makes more. It's
See?
Ridiculous.
This just doesn't work. And so if you can convert that into something you can use later when there's more energy demand than is produced, then, technically that's a battery, the storage of energy or something that can be used to make energy. This will be the largest facility of its kind in the U.S. when it is completed. So pretty cool. And it's happening in Utah. So that's kind of neat.
Does it say where in Utah?
I don't think they gave a specific area.
Somewhere in the desert.
But it's, I was going to say, just kidding. It's it's near or part of a, they're going to utilize part of a geological salt formation near Delta.
Oh.
So nothing's
central.
Out there.
Yeah,
do just, whatever the heck you want out
just
in Delta.
Delta is the only thing out there. Other than Delta and its little reservoir.
There in the Great Basin.
There's just nothing there. So this is great for that area.
Very cool. So the next battery story Jaren has for us.
Turns out lithium ion batteries can last longer. And I'm talking about not like holding a charge, but the longevity of the battery itself.
More nice. Charges without degradation.
Yes, because we've been charging it wrong this entire time.
What? How so, Jaren? Tell me
what
more.
What do you mean, Steve Jobs? I haven't been holding my phone wrong.
Yep. We have been holding our phones wrong this entire time.
We have
so,
the pinky notch.
Baloney.
Good to go.
We can double the lifespan of our lithium-ion batteries if we switch from constant current, which is what we use to charge our batteries today, just a constant current of electricity going through, to a pulsed current. Yes, so it pulses the current.
Requires
it's pretty
no
self-explanatory
change to the battery chemistry or anything like that.
Apparently not. It requires a change to the charger, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say you could change the charger to pulse the electricity.
Yep, and
that's cool.
It significantly increases the lifespan, and we don't really need to do too much. So that sounds awesome.
That's probably the biggest fear of a lot of people with buying an electric car.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
oh no, I'm going to have to replace the battery down the road and it's going to be really expensive. But if you can double the life of the battery in your car,
that's a big
just
deal.
By charging it better.
It's like going from like 12 years to 24 years of an EV. That's
a huge deal.
Huge deal. Yeah. And for wireless earbuds, instead of them pooping out after 2 years, they'd maybe last 4 years. It's huge.
Now we're talking. You're speaking my language, Jaren.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I've got to put it on here. Never mind. Garrett, carry on.
I was hoping for the cool segue.
See, I forgot to put the story on here, but I'll add the story later. Speaking of earbuds, Motorola has announced today a new earbud called the Moto Buds Plus, and they are very interesting looking. Let me drop the old link here into the chat here. Moto Buds Plus.
Everyone's waiting, Tony. You're slowing the show down.
Paste. You need to rein this in.
No, I know.
This is you. This is on you.
I do what I want.
This is on me. But
so here's what's cool about these.
My gosh.
There's two. There's the Moto Buds and the Moto Buds Plus. I don't really care about the Moto Buds as much. They're not as interesting. But the Buds Plus, they've teamed up with Bose. And they should. They have Bose certified active noise canceling and sound, which logically means they're going to sound really good, like the Bose earbuds. Now, the thing that's awesome about this is these are $130 brand new instead of Bose's $300 or $350.
I remain skeptical.
Yeah, me too.
So it also will support wireless charging, Dolby head tracking when used with Motorola phones and supported content. So nobody will ever use that.
Tony will.
I don't use Motorola phone. Who do you know that has a Motorola phone these days? You know, nobody. Not that they
How
don't
many
make.
More? There's not many out there.
I was going to say, not
just
that
the,
they
did the Razr.
Yeah, not that they don't.
They made
make good
phones for a while.
Not that they still don't make pretty good Android phones, but I just don't know anyone that uses them.
They just announced one with a wood back on it, like they used to, like over a decade ago.
That's neat.
Wood on a phone. That is so great, and I wish more companies did it.
So with these, you also get multi-point pairing. They have, I don't know what this means, but they have a water repellent design. They should have just
probably
said
means
like,
it's water repellent.
They should have just
water.
Said like, yeah, IP56 or whatever, or 64 or whatever.
I don't want to pay the notification.
Water repellent design. It looks like it might repel water.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It looks like it'll work.
Just make sure you only get it on the plastic bits and not the seams.
Genius.
Right.
They also have a transparency mode like Bose. So, and they have the Bose branding right on the case. So, I mean, like Bose isn't like, yeah, we'll sell you a license, but don't tell anyone kind of a thing. Like, yeah, you can, you know, Bose is represented on the case, which means I would assume they back it.
So I assume you're going to buy this?
I already ordered it. So,
of course you have.
It should be here in a couple of days, and if I remember correctly, it also has dual dynamic drivers. So we have an 11.4 millimeter or 11 millimeter woofer and a 6 millimeter tweeter. So it's got dual drivers. It looks really
amazing,
rad.
Tony. That's amazing. Thanks for the update. I appreciate all you do.
If these
for those
are
of
good,
you watching this, you need to see Jaren get excited over that tweeter.
So excited.
Was that what that was, Jaren?
That's exactly what that was. All right, next up, we're going to talk about an awesome app that Jaren found.
I wasn't done.
Oh, sorry. What else do you have to say about these headphones?
If they're awesome,
you don't have yet.
If they're awesome for $130, that's a game changer for earbuds. That's like they'll be the next. They'll be the automatic recommendation for $130, half the price of AirPods Pros. Less than half the price of the Bose
good?
Ones.
No.
I don't know. We're gonna see.
Nope.
But this is like trademarking with two different companies. If another one, like if Sony jumps in with like the AirBuds or something like crossing like that, that could be interesting.
Yeah. So it all depends on how the synergy plays out, you know. So okay, now I'm done, Lando.
Okay, thank you. Jaren, oh, wait, you're next.
One more thing.
No, 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 you're done. I'm driving and I said you're done. You're done. Jaren's next. He's going to talk about app he found.
Lando, I know what you're doing to the show notes and I don't like it.
Oh,
anyway.
Is that what Jaren was getting mad yeah. about? Oh, what did you do to the
don't
show
touch.
Notes?
Not letting us click the links.
Yeah, anyway, so you guys remember
bad,
Beeper Mini, right?
The,
I felt it.
The company that...
Not it.
Huh?
That was my freebeeper.com. Never mind, that was different. Go ahead.
Beeper Mini, the company that tried to bring iMessage to Android devices.
Deep cut. Yes, it sucked. It was terrible. They failed miserably like 3 times.
No, they did a good job. It's just Apple, you know... They did what Apple does best, and they stomped that out as quickly as they could.
Okay.
And they stopped trying because, you know, it was a crappy customer experience. Anyway, turns out Beeper is makes an actual app. They don't try just to rip off Apple technology. Lando, you're driving me nuts.
I just did the thing. It did it automatic. I didn't do it.
You do it.
What is your guys' problem?
Anyway, so Beeper, they make a... all-in-one chat app. You know, like back in the day with in the mid-2000s and
Trillion?
Like late 90s. Yeah, Trillion.
Yeah,
how they,
buddy.
They merged all of the different chat protocols together in one nice, beautiful app. We lost that when companies decided that they wanted it to be very proprietary, like Slack, Discord, Google Messages, whatever it's called now, like after made five name
G-chat.
Changes.
Yeah, five changes.
Is G-chat still exist or is it part of the graveyard?
It's just part of the graveyard. Chat now. Google Chat.
Yeah, but it's not even based on the same technology anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, so anyway, Beeper, they just barely came out of a closed beta. It's open to everyone now. It does this. It is the modern day Trillion. You can, yeah, yeah. So it integrates Discord, Signal, let me just pull up the list right now. It'll be easier.
Slack,
WeChat or
Google
WhatsApp,
Chat.
Microsoft Teams.
Not Microsoft Teams. That's like the only one that it doesn't.
What about Google Chat?
Yes, Google Chat as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Telegram as well.
What about What about Google Chat?
Facebook Messenger, not iMessage.
What about Instagram Chat?
Facebook Messenger.
It does do Messenger?
Yeah, Facebook Messenger.
What about Instagram Chat?
But does it do Google Chat?
Anyway.
You haven't told me about Instagram
Chat.
You got
the list. Is it on the list?
He didn't
even
look.
So,
I'm not joking.
Unlike previous apps that tried to do this, where it was just a different web app.
Instagram?
It's a different web app combined into one. So like you click on the Slack icon and it brings up Slack. Yeah. You click on the Google Chat icon and it brings up Google Chat. It's not that. It brings it all into its own UI and it works. It works well.
Does it keep them separate easily for me to know that this is coming from Slack? This is coming. Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There's an icon for each row telling you what service is coming from. You can filter out based on the service if you want. And it looks like it belongs all in the same app, and it works well. They advise that if you're like a serious user, like if you're using Discord to host audio for gaming and stuff like that, don't use it for that because it only works for text. So if you're a casual user, like maybe on your phone or your work laptop or an iPad, it's a great option for that. I got rid of 4 apps on my phone and replaced it with 1. It's great.
Does it support GIFs?
It does on desktop and Android. They're going to support GIFs on iOS soon.
I will not download it until it supports GIFs on
it's
iOS.
Got to support GIFs,
but you can view GIFs.
That is a foundational, piece of any chat app that I want to use. I'm a millennial. I use GIFs.
What about custom emojis? Does it do custom emojis? Yeah.
It does. Cool. Well, actually, I don't know if it does.
That's my biggest complaint with stupid Teams. No custom emojis like Slack.
Yeah, but you can unsend, you can delete messages, you can edit messages, all that jazz. So check it out if you want. The desktop apps are based on Electron, so that means it uses way more memory and CPU power than is necessary. Because it uses Chrome in the background, exactly. But the apps look native enough for me. And
wait a minute. I showed you something like this a couple years back, and you said,
I don't want this. It uses Chrome. It's just a web page in a box.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I mentioned that 5 minutes ago when I started talking about this.
That's what this is, and you like it? What change? What the? Come on,
Tony. When I first started talking, I said this isn't like one of those apps where you click on the Slack icon and pulls up Slack. You click on Google Chat icon and pulls up Google Chat. This puts it all into one interface, and it looks mostly native to the OS.
I'm just glad you're growing as a human.
Me too.
Check it out. That's all.
It was called Beeper. For those of you that missed it, it was called Beeper.
Yeah.
Like freebeeper.com. And if you haven't watched that YouTube video from way back when, it's pretty great. All right. Let's keep on trucking here.
Nascent YouTube, that video. Right? That's way back in the day.
Way back. I felt it. Let's talk about some paintball security cams. Okay. Got my interest piqued.
This is pretty cool. I found this also just randomly popping up on my Google feed, and it's a company out of what's the company that's Slovenian? Slovenia?
Slovakia?
Slovakia? I thought that's Slovakian.
Slovenian?
What is happening?
I look that up, Lando. Drive and look that up. What is Slovenian? What country is that?
Slovakia.
Slovenia.
Are you sure?
No, there is no country named Slovenia. It's Slovakia. Yes.
Google says Slovenia.
But does it have Google Chat?
Anyway, this probably supports Google Chat. It's a security camera.
Holy shit, he's right.
Slovenia. See, it's so simple.
It's a country in Europe.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, fair enough. Fine, you're right.
It's a smart security camera that has a paintball gun built into it, basically.
Are you kidding me? This is what I need.
I would turn into a absolute supervillain if I had a few of these.
Can I? Exactly. Hold on. Stop. So here's my problem. I have dogs pooping in my yard all the GD time. I could use this to shoot the dogs with paintball guns from the cameras from the comfort of my house?
Does it hit?
That one, yeah. You got to be a good aim, bud.
Yeah, you'd have to get good.
Skill issue overcome. Let's go.
So basically it says it has in quotes, will actively open fire on potential intruders with paintball pellets or even tear gas rounds with quote ultra high precision.
If our country breaks out into civil war, maybe it'd be
how much
option?
Is it?
There you go. They don't put a price on it, but it also can run off of AI, so it can recognize faces.
So I don't gotta get good, guys. I can just do it.
No, if I one day like come home and I like shave my beard or something,
yeah,
and it
thinks you're an intruder.
Out. Nope.
Could be bad. You know.
I don't trust it.
So yeah, it's. questionable at best, I would say at this point. But man, it's a fun idea, and if it ever makes it to market, I will be very curious on how it works. The funniest part about it is it will yell at you first. You can set it to give a warning, and basically, remove yourself from the premises.
No, and then, change it to the home alone like thing. Like you ugly yellow.
No good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of paint.
Full of lead.
The goal behind the paintball part, aside from pain, is so that it will mark someone so the police could find them based on the paint, you know.
Until they take off their shirt.
Where do I buy one of these?
Until they change their clothes, yeah. But then if you want to go a step further, you got the tear gas projectiles. So
there's a lawsuit written all over that.
Yeah, the creators call it, quote, a vigilant guardian that doesn't sleep, blink, or miss a beat.
Oh, it's on Kickstarter right now.
And, quote, a proactive participant in your safety.
It's coming soon to Kickstarter.
There you go. So you can invest in it and throw your money away on it. It'll probably be as successful as something like, I don't know, a folding bike helmet. That's a deep cut for anyone that's been listening back when we were in the gadget spot a long time ago.
I saw that in my account the other day, and it dredged up memories.
Painful memories.
Yeah,
that's a good time. I totally want one of those. Like, I'm not even joking.
There's some little videos of it working on this
article that I linked to. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
How is it working? What is it shooting?
Well, it just shows the camera shooting. It doesn't show it actually hitting anything on the stuff that I've watched, but maybe that's,
you know. Can you tell it to aim at a specific part of someone's body? Like the gonads?
Why would you want that, Jaren?
I mean,
for extra pain?
It says ultra high precision. So
does it logically say FPS on it? This is the airsoft
thing is
nerd in me.
Pretty huge, actually. It's a big boy.
Yeah, it's large. I mean, you have to be big like that if you're going to put a little CO2 canister in there and everything to actually push the pellets out at a speed that will be painful and explode. So
it's true.
Nope.
All right. Anyway. Well, thank you, Tony, for making my life immediately better tonight.
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
I appreciate that. Moving on to Jaren with what looks to be the boring story of the night, but you know, who am I to judge? Let's talk about SD cards.
This is not boring. This is awesome.
Remember when SD cards were measured in the megabytes?
I do.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to have a 4 terabyte SD card.
That's a lot of terabytes.
Coming next year.
This is an XD card from back in the day. They don't make these anymore.
Oh, I have those.
256 megabytes right
nice.
There. So I hang on to it just because it reminds me of what we used to have to endure.
Yeah, like SD cards by themselves aren't very amusing, but just the fact that they're so small with so much storage now.
They're so dense.
It's mind-boggling. And they're getting faster, too.
That's the cool thing about this announcement is not only is it massive, 4 terabytes, but they're saying it will support higher speeds, too.
Whoa. Yeah, I just saw that. I was curious about that. That's, wow.
Yeah.
If James were here, he would be all over this as the resident camera person.
It's speedy enough for raw, uncompressed 8K video recording.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
That is nuts bonkers.
Think of how great that
SD
would be.
SD cards could so... Oh, see, I shouldn't have read that.
What?
It said SD cards could soon hold 128 terabytes of storage.
Could you... That boggles my mind.
Yeah.
But put one of these in a handheld PC like a ROG Ally or a Steam Deck or a GPD, and you got 4 terabytes of games right there on an SD card to play. That's wild.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
All right. Well, let's do a quick lightning round, which is really just Tony's code word of saying there's a few more stories left, so let's just do a few more. Let's start with Tony.
He's not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
My turn?
Yeah, you might have to make this. I don't know what that means, but he wants to make something.
Oh, you want
to
do that one? I like the other Qualcomm one better.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Do that one.
Yeah, let's do the Qualcomm one. So Qualcomm announced a Wi-Fi breakthrough for IoT devices. It's super low power Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth, not Zigbee, something like that, but it's actual Wi-Fi, which means you get a lot more bandwidth off of it. But they're basically talking about a new Wi-Fi standard that they've developed that will consume 88% less power than traditional Wi-Fi chips, which means you could actually have full Wi-Fi capabilities in like IoT devices, in lower power IoT devices.
That's
not
very
sure
cool.
Not sure if I want that though, congesting my Wi-Fi network even more.
Well, here's the thing though. You got to remember with the newer Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi 6E and Wi-Fi 7, you have a lot more channels and the capability to support a lot more devices. And this is still just their announcement. They don't have any... availability plans. They're only sampling availability this year in June. So best case scenario, we might see it by the end of the year. I'm betting more we'll see it in products probably next year sometime. So, but yeah, I just thought that was pretty rad. 88% more efficient Wi-Fi. Because think of how it would be too for devices that maybe you want to just lower the battery consumption on it, like a iPad or a phone or something. You could be using Wi-Fi and just use a lot less power and extend the battery life of whatever that device is too, not just IoT stuff. So
that's awesome.
Ta-da.
All right. And then for our last story for the night, I got an interesting thing here about breaking the broadband speed record. So researchers from a place called Aston University in the UK, along with a team of international researchers, have set a new world record for the internet speed at 301 terabits per second. That is 4.5 million times faster than the average UK broadband speed of 69.4 megabits per second. To put this in perspective, Tony, at this record-breaking speed, it would take just 1 minute to download every movie listed in the Internet Movie Database. Just 1 minute. Everyone downloaded right to you.
Wonder how long it...
Bonkers.
I want to see some of that trickle down into my connection. I don't need a full 301 terabits. I'll just take one terabit. I'm fine with that.
So the interesting thing about the way that they were able to do this is they've developed a new optical processing device that uses additional wavelength bands beyond what is currently used in fiber optic systems, right? So they're still using the same fiber optic systems, according, if I understand this correctly, and I will admit I may be understanding it wrong, but they're just using new wavelengths, new bands inside the fiber optic system to get these speeds.
Yeah,
which is pretty sweet.
Same medium, which would be glass or fiberglass, right, or whatever you want to call it for fiber optics. But if you can create more bands in there, each band carries data. More bands, more data. So, yeah.
So with the existing fiber infrastructure, we could see a boost in speed.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to relay any cable. You just have to swap out the endpoints, which are much easier to get to than the cable.
The nodes.
Yeah, the notes. So that's pretty rad.
I thought so too, right?
This episode's about improvement to the fundamentals.
Yeah, give me some of that.
I like that. Well, that is all the time we have for this week. But before we go, let's give a big shout out to our Patreon backers. Jaren, that's you.
What's Patreon?
Are you
going to
explain it and say what it is?
Yeah, Patreon's awesome. So if you are awesome, you can go to Patreon. You can back us. You can give us some money, some shekels every single month, and get some super duper special bonuses, such as access to the super secret Discord channel. You can get the episodes early, both of them at the same time, with an extra special in between episode. So in between, so here's a secret. Here's a secret that Tony won't let you know, but I will because I'm driving. Is we record both episodes in the same night. Crazy, right?
Oh, that's not a secret.
Blasphemy.
Right? But what we do is in between the shows, we have another show. We call it the In-Between. Super creative. I came up with it. Where we talk about some more spicy kind of things, kind of our everyday lives, other things we want to talk about that don't quite fit the shows.
Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're not.
Can't all be gems.
Yep. But, and you get that at
just
any,
like our show.
You can donate $1 a month and get that. So go
but
to...
But you have to go listen to all of them to find out which ones are.
That's right.
Very true.
So go to patreon.com/geekshowhelpdesk. Geek Show Help Desk Arcade. What is it now, Tony?
Nailed it.
I can't
patreon.com/helpdeskarcade.
Help Desk Arcade. Go there. Give us some shekels. And if you do donate a bunch of money to us, you'll get a shout out on the show. That's another benefit. Shout outs on the show. Jaren, that's you.
Thank you to David Roshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony. Thank you, guys. Jason Eatman, Keonda Cardinal, Lamborghini, Andy Bird, B the 8-year-old, Tony the Home Theater Geek, Travis Johnson, buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George K's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, the In-Between Tech Rating Plus 5. Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat, your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you, everyone.
Cool. Thank you for doing that. Hope you enjoyed listening, dear listener.
You're welcome.
Tony, you gotta play the music. I don't want the button.
Oh, right. The music.
What are you?
Oh, I'm on the wrong page.
That's not on me. It's on Tony. I don't have
you're
all
the driving.
Power.
Fix this.
Tony, press the right button.
I did.
All right. Well, I will take us out because I will always take us out, and I have something here. So if you like listening to a certain Help Desk podcast and you like the different endings every week, each and every week, do me a favor and submit some of your favorite end user stories. Be an end user.